Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. We'll read from verse 1. Second Chronicles 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came about when Baasha heard of it that he ceased fortifying Ramah and stopped his work. Then King Asa brought all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timbers with which Baasha had been building, and with them he fortified Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubim an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing us here, and that we can come and pray and just be in your presence. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to our hearts and convict us. Help us to live this day according to your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, look, Morgan's back. What's up? Okay. You guys, I'm sure many of us have heard this passage in verse 9. You know, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." But we always stop it right there. We don't continue on to the rest of the verse. I mean, that verse by itself is such a great verse. You know, it's so encouraging. And it's like, wow, yeah, God's going to strongly support me, you know, as long as I make sure that my heart is completely his. And it's an encouraging verse. But the rest of the verse says, "You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars." And actually, in the context of this passage, verse 9 is a rebuke. You know, prophet or the seer, Hanani, has come to Asa, and he's rebuking Asa and saying, "Hey man, you are doing okay, but now you're going to have wars because your heart is not completely his, and your heart is not completely given to God. And God would have strongly supported you, but now you're going to have wars." And we need a bit of a context into who Asa was. Asa was a good king. You know how in Judah they have maybe half of the kings are bad kings and half of the kings are good kings. Asa was a good king. You know, he began the reign when he was young, and he, you know, in chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God." And it talks about how he removed the high places and removed the foreign altars and took down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherim. And he made sure that the people of Judah sought the Lord their God. But at the end of his life, I don't know what happened, but he kind of wasn't so hardcore after God anymore. If you look in chapter 14, you don't have to, you can read it on your own. The Ethiopians come. It says, Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah and 280,000 from Benjamin, and they were all valiant warriors, so that's 580,000. But the next verse says, Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. So just before our chapter, in chapter 14, it talks about how the Ethiopians came with 1,000,000 warriors to try and fight against this king. And Asa, I'll read it to you. From verse 11, he says, Then Asa called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one besides thee to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name have come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. See, in this passage, he says, Lord, there is no one beside thee to help in this battle between the powerful and those who have no strength to help us. O Lord our God, for we trust in you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. This was about 25 years before what's happened, the passage that we read today. And God gives them victory over the Ethiopians. And then the prophet of the Lord comes to Asa and says, hey, because you are seeking the Lord, you're going to have rest from war. So Asa, in the beginning of his rule, he has to face the Ethiopians in battle. And he says, Lord, we're going to come against this Ethiopian, you know, in your name. And Lord, would you come and help us? And don't let man prevail against you. So his heart is completely God's, right? He's following God and he's making his reign, it's about God. When the Ethiopians come, Asa's focus is not, hey, the Ethiopians are here, help me win this battle so that I can be a good king, and help me win this battle so that Israel can be a good nation and we can be victorious. He's saying, hey, God, help me win because we're fighting this battle in your name, Lord, and we're fighting this battle for your glory, and don't let man prevail against you. This battle is about God and about being used by God to glorify God and to do God's will here on this earth. That's what King Asa is about, 25 years before what we read today. But he has 25 years of really peaceful, really good reign because God blesses him. And sadly, somehow, though within those 25 years, he kind of loses focus maybe. And in this passage that we read today, the king of Israel comes against Asa, and no longer is Asa fighting a battle for the Lord. He's not saying, hey, Lord, we're going to fight this battle for your name. We're going to fight this battle to battle against, don't let man prevail against you. You know, it's not about God anymore. It's about Asa. He just wants to make sure that his country wins the battle. So he uses his own human wisdom, makes a deal with another country and says, hey, these guys are against me. I'll give you my money. You can see, verse 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Right? He brought out money from the house of the Lord. I mean, that's not what the money is supposed to be used for. He brings it out and he gives it to this foreign nation and says, hey, can you come and help us? And I mean, it was a wise move, right? He did win the battle. But the battle was no longer about the Lord. The battle was about him. The battle was about, hey, I want to win this battle. I want to make sure that I am the king that leads our people into victory. And so the prophet comes and he rebukes and says, hey, you know that you're not about the Lord anymore. You know that your heart is not completely for God anymore. And you had an opportunity to trust God, but you blew it, and now you're going to have wars. And We didn't read on, but Asa doesn't repent. He gets angry with the prophet. Because, you know, surely, like, the prophet, King Asa is thinking at this moment, he's probably like, yeah, I'm the man, you know. I made this wise move. I did this whole, I was a good diplomat, you know. I brought these guys in to help me out, and we won the battle. And he's thinking he's pretty clever in this, but the prophet comes, and he points to him, kind of the evil in his heart. And he gets angry. He actually gets angry and puts the prophet in prison. And then 4 years later, he becomes diseased in his feet. And it was severe, but it says, yet, even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So later on in his life, even when his feet were diseased and he needed help, he was severe disease, he didn't seek the Lord. He sought only the physicians. So he kind of had a heart change at the end of his life. Didn't finish very well. And so I just this morning, you know, let's ask the Lord, are we completely God's? In verse 9, so for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. It's a very encouraging passage, but it's also a scary passage because it's like, well, if your heart is not completely God's, then God's not going to strongly support you. So let's close our eyes and let's ask the Holy Spirit. I think the biggest issue here was, you know, King Asa used to be about God. It used to be, hey, the Ethiopians came. We're going to fight this war for your name. You know, he says, we stand, you know, in this battle in your name. And he says, let not man prevail against you. But that heart turned into, I want to win this battle. So I'm going to do what I can and make sure that I succeed in this. So just in our own life, you know, are we about God's business? Are we, you know, when we work and when we go about our day, are we doing it in the name of the Lord to bring God glory? Or are we doing it so that we can be glorified and we can build a kingdom for ourselves? So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And I just ask you, to help us this morning. Yes, Lord, our clean hands and pure heart, God, that is our desire, so that you may come and dwell in our hearts, Lord. So Holy Spirit, just come and convict us and come and change us, God. Transform us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are committed to us, God, and that you, that you're committed to see us change and to make us into pure and holy bride for you. So come and do that. We thank you. And for our group prayer focus, let's pray as we do every day. Let's pray for our Israel team. They are away. They're coming back Saturday. Let's pray that they have a wonderful, they only have a few days left. Let's pray that God, that they'll be able to finish strong and continue to hear from God. That PSAN will be anointed as he teaches. Let's pray for our YWAM DTS team. They're in Egypt and they're ministering. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for anointing and power. Let's pray for financial provision and protection from all the schemes of the enemy, all the opposition that will come their way. And lastly, let's pray for just all the church services that we have this weekend and the church meetings. Tomorrow, there's basketball in the morning, and then there's actually worship team auditions tomorrow, so you can cover that as well. And then IP team, and then there's youth group at 5:30. And then on Sunday, we have the two services. And PSAN would be back. So let's pray that he won't be too tired and that he would be able to really speak with God's power and anointing. And Chris will be leading worship for us on Sunday. So those three things, let's cover and let's pray and go before the Lord. For this morning, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, and we thank you for your word, and help us, God, to be completely yours. May our hearts be completely yours, dear God, and just bless the Israel team, their last day. Bless our YWAM team as they minister in Egypt, God. And we ask you for your blessing over our services and our meetings, God, this weekend. That you will come and into every single time we get together as a church, God, that your presence will come and your love will be there and your peace will be there, God. And especially on Sunday as people come into your presence, I pray those that need healing will receive healing from you, God. And those that need a challenge, God, will hear from you and be convicted, God. And those that just need your comfort, God, will be comforted. And we just pray, God, you will come and you will have your way. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, God, on that Sunday as we worship you and as we come into your presence together. So we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we give you this day. Please bless every single person that is here with your presence, God, with your love today, with your joy today, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.